In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We've heard this story of how Jesus cast the demons out of the man who had been living in the tombs and into the swine many times. This time, let's focus on one particular thing. Let's ask ourselves why the people of that area were so afraid. What were they so afraid of? Our immediate idea is that they were afraid because Jesus had been the cause of the loss of the swine. They didn't want to lose anything else. But there's some question as to what they were afraid of losing. It may not have been simply things like the herd of swine, things like the pigs that had been lost. When the ones who lost the pigs saw that their herd had driven themselves into the lake and died, they fled. It was an unaccountable kind of an event. What could the reason be for this happening? It was like a disaster that they had witnessed. They didn't know why it had happened. And they ran immediately into the city and told everyone about it, and they told everyone in the county about it. But then they went back to see what had happened. Well, what does it mean, what had happened? They knew that the herd of swine had run into the lake, but they didn't know why. They didn't know the meaning of things. They didn't know the cause. And so they went back. And they found those who had witnessed Jesus with the man, the demoniac. And they heard how Jesus had spoken directly to those forces that lay within the mind and the heart of the man and controlled him, a man that had no consciousness of his own actions, and how Jesus had driven those controlling forces and powers, those demons, out of the man. And that was the reason for the swine running into the lake, because those demons had gone into the swine. Now, there's a kind of background sense here in this story always that those who herd swine become something like the animals that they herd. They're unclean animals. And there's even a sense that the country of the Gadarenes was a country of ill repute, where people were given over to sins of the flesh. They ate pork, after all, which was forbidden to the Jews. And there's this idea that whatever you do for a living, the things that you do for a living pass into you as qualities. And so there is a suspicion here among several spiritual writers that the real fear of the Gadarenes was that Jesus was going to cast out of them things that they did not want to have cast out of them. They didn't live among the tombs. They were perfectly functional and comfortable in the world. The world that Father Thomas Hopko once called the life of the pig pen. They were comfortable in the ways of the world. They didn't want things cast out of them that would bring them into the kind of mind and peace that they could see the man had who now sat at Jesus' feet, clothed and in his right mind. That was not the state, the condition that they desired. They wanted to remain as they were. So, out of fear, a fear that grew once they understood that Jesus was the cause of this quietness, this peace, this sanity, this presence of mind in this man, that was why they were afraid. They feared for the loss of all of the passions and desires that made their life livable for them. The life that they enjoyed. They could see that this was a spiritual man whose influence on the man who had once been mad out of his mind? Was it he is brought into a state of mind that is more sane even than the people who are concerned to continue to live as they had been living before? What about the man himself? He wants to remain with Jesus. He is afraid, the Blessed Theophylact has speculated, that maybe if he doesn't stay with Jesus, the one who cast out the demons, they might return. He might not have the strength to be able to go on without being by Jesus' side. But Jesus reassures the man. He tells him to go back to his own house. And by going to his own house, Theophylact and others have thought he means, as Elder Simeon Craigiopoulos would say, stand on your own two feet, Elder Simeon would say. Go back to your own house. The demons have been cast out. Theophylact says he is reassuring the man, letting him know that the grace of the Lord will go with him, even if he is not physically with Jesus. We stand on our own two feet by way of the grace of God, by our cooperation with him. Elder Simeon says that there are three main ways that we can depart from standing on our own two feet in sobriety, in spiritual peace of mind. There are three ways that we can depart. We can depart out of fear of not being able to stand on our own, latching on to someone else, complying with whatever is going on with someone else. Or we can try to dominate other people and feel like we're standing on our own two feet because we are more powerful than they are. Or we can withdraw and feel as though others are not good enough for us to be with. Have a sense of our own independence and strength separate from others, on our own. Three different ways of using others and using our separation from others and from God to feel as though we are standing on our own two feet by comparison to others, using them in one way or another, defining ourselves and understanding ourselves in terms of other people, complying with them, trying to dominate them, or separating ourselves from them and judging them and looking down on them. All three of those ways involve abandoning the state of peace that Christ has given this man by casting out the demons. Metropolitan Jonah would put it like this. He would say, when it comes to any situation involving others, whenever we are tempted to depart from a state of stability and peace of mind, we should refuse to resent anything that is said. Because any one of those three states of mind, we can resent others. Don't resent. Don't react. And keep peace of mind. Keep standing on your own two feet by the grace of God. So there's a lesson for us here that comes very close to our own temptations in life. The man, when he was possessed by forces that were not God, and not himself, but that he might be tempted even to identify with, but this man wasn't even conscious. We can be so much controlled by ways of reacting to others, ways of responding, that we lose our own consciousness. We simply react. We don't refuse to react, we react all of the time. If someone acts a certain way, we react in an opposite way. And we become accustomed to living in that kind of way. And so there can be no communion between ourselves and others. Because we've gone out of ourselves. We're not living like the persons that God created. So when we think of having these things cast out of this man, think of those who did not want Jesus in their area. Because they did not want to be changed. Theophylact says they missed the great opportunity. Why did they not say to Jesus, cleanse and purify us as you have cleansed and purified this man? They missed the great opportunity for their salvation out of fear of the loss of a way of living that is separate from God. And all of us in our secret hearts, we have a similar fear. What would life be like if I didn't control others, if I didn't react to others, if I didn't go in fear of others, if I didn't have to worry about what they might do to me, what they might say, what I might need to do in order to maintain myself? Always defining ourselves in terms of those separate from us, who we have no real communion with, who are the next thing to objects surrounding us, extras in our own little play, where each one of us is on stage, the number one persona, it means mask, like the masks of those who act in a drama, where I am the center of my own drama, and all of the others are extras. Carl Jung used to say that in a dream, we are all of the people we see in the dream. Life can be that kind of dream, where I'm so focused on myself that others are unreal, not so real as I am real. This is what it's like to be in a condition where we are bound and controlled, perhaps not by demons, but certainly by demonic fears, fears that are like fears that demons have, or desires that are like the desires that demons have. It's a close next thing. The last thing that Jesus does with the man, after telling him to go back to his own home, is this. He says, show to others what God has done for you. Show to others what God has done. By the way you act with others, live a life that you could not have lived when you were controlled by these passions, by these desires, by these demons. Show them what God has done for you. And the man goes back home, and he shows and tells all that he meets, how God has changed him, enabled him to go freely and live his life. And this is the promise that God gives to us. He restores our life to us so that we can live the rest of our lives, and that the rest of our lives that we live are already the beginning of an eternal life, a life that can't be destroyed by the presence of sin or suffering or death in the world. This is the new freedom that Christ gives to us. This is the freedom to live that Christ gave to the man. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.